so happy to be here today. I'm so grateful for the board inviting me back. I spoke here in November of 2005 when I was in the middle of the ministerial school and process of awakening. I completed my master's degree in March, which became the process of awakening the minister, a journey, an inward journey of self-discovery and reflection, which is kind of what we're all here today. We're finding our own path to enlightenment. We're finding our own freedom from the events of our past that control our actions and responses today. I'm also grateful that Reverend George has invited me to speak in his place today and has welcomed me to his practitioner core. It's such an honor to be in service to each and every one of you today. And I'm especially blessed to have three of my co-students who went through the practitioner training with me, both Prac 1 and 2, and their support and their love through my many ups and downs in following the path and answering the call to the highest calling in ministry. It's not an easy path with our, in my case, my demons of my childhood kept surfacing and took me deeper within to a deeper level of forgiveness and acceptance and a deeper level beyond my comprehension. For a man that I deeply loved who also served in the war, he served in World War II, the tail end of it, and Korea as a baker in the Navy on the ships. My father, who has been the inspiration for my journey, and he's been my constant companion, even though he's been on the realm of the invisible for 27 years now. However, I received my ministerial license on the 27th year of his passing, which created a new memory for me, one of joy and happiness versus sadness as it was previously. And I owe my journey to my dad, my family, my friends, and to the many ministers and teachers that have assisted me to going deeper, to find a new relationship and less responsive. We each go within ourselves to free ourselves of those automatic responses. It's coming to a new relationship with something that may have been painful in our past. In my case, I kind of lumped everything that was painful here, put it there, and I'll deal with you later. Well, it never stopped coming up because there were so much unresolved issues in my life that showed up with my first ministerial panel in January. The 15-year-old showed up. She took over whenever I got upset. And I kept wanting to basically obliterate her from my consciousness, except, you know, we can't do that. They get very, you know, our inner child gets very upset with us when we try and do that. I had to learn to embrace her. I had to learn to love her and tell her she's okay. She's safe. I'm not going to desert her. Many people on my journey, I felt, did abandon me. I had one mentor that felt she could no longer help me. And I continued to work with her, and it's almost impossible to continue to work with somebody that doesn't believe in your path. However, it's truly about an inside job. If we don't believe in ourselves, then we'll never make it. We can have all these exterior people telling us, you can do this, don't give up, we know you can, we believe in you. Until you believe in yourself and have the self-confidence within yourself, you won't achieve your goals. However, my master's paper was another option to graduation with a friend of mine. The paper became a study tool to achieve my goal of ministry. It incorporated every experience of my life from a new realization, a new awareness of what the lesson, the blessing, or what did I need to change about me? What did I need to forgive? What did I need to accept? What did I need to incorporate into my life as the higher wisdom self versus the hurt child? No longer the victim, but the aware, fully present, healing presence in the world. The paper became a journey or a process of healing, a process in healing, which transformed my life. It incorporated every principle I studied in preparation for my ministerial oral panel. It gave me the strength to persevere because I had a single focus and a goal of graduation. Although I did not graduate with both as intended, with my master's and my ministerial, I achieved both within 5 days of each other. I had another option of another minister that stepped forward to head the panel, along with my other mentor, who was my Prac 1 teacher and a friend of hers, in Arizona, of all places. I was attached, which we all get attached to how things should look in our lives or how things should occur in our lives. I was attached to this one particular person, teacher, to see me through to the end of completion. However, that wasn't the journey. I actually completed it with the minister I started with nearly 7 years ago when I stepped through the doors of the Huntington Beach Church. 7 year journey to transforming from the hurt child into the minister you see today. One that is fully present in the world, sharing my story, my journey of healing, overcoming a life-threatening illness of a blood clot, which nearly took my life 10 years ago. And at that time, I said I wanted a deeper connection to God. I had no idea that meant minister, or the path I trotted on to achieve that goal, to be here today and to serve the many, many communities I serve. I serve about four in various degrees. And I'm grateful to be here to assist this church in growing and expanding into the fullness that this community is capable of being. Every seat filled every Sunday. Wednesday services, if that's what Reverend George wants to start up. You know, the possibilities are limitless. And what we're here today to talk about is freedom. For me, it was very freeing once I came to love my inner child. Once I came to love and bless my dad and know that that love is an inside job, that love I feel for my family and especially my dad is still within me and each and every day, and all I gotta do is think about him and he's right here in my mind, and that's really all we live in. We live in our minds, but we listen a lot to exterior people tell us what to do or tell us what we can and cannot do, and we believe them. You know, my original talk title was, my original thesis was Healing My Limiting Beliefs by Applying the Science of Mind Principles. And what I know now about being a minister is you live your talk. So I definitely lived it. It changed to Awakening the Minister, which was more appropriate of a title. And it's still about removing our beliefs, which we don't really, until we get in touch with in ourselves, we really don't know what's driving us. We don't really know what's controlling us. We experience freedom once we are aware of those beliefs, once we're aware that we can change that belief of, I'm not good enough, I can't do this. We can change it to, yes, I can, and who's the you to tell me I can't? And it's like just getting that awareness, that self-confidence, and just knowing that you can conquer the world, because the secret tells us we can. We can conquer the world. God told us we can conquer the world. In our minds, which is where we live 99% of the time, unconsciously. And it's bringing those unconscious memories, events, traumas to the surface to have a new and loving relationship with them. And today we're about celebrating our country. And I want to share this poem that was written and published through the Chicken Soup of the Souls in honor of 9/11. It's entitled, I Am the Flag of the United States of America. I am the flag of the United States of America. My name is Old Glory. I fly atop the world's highest buildings. I stand watch in America's halls of justice. I fly majestically over institutions of learning. I stand guard with power in the world. Look up and see me. I stand for peace, honor, truth, and justice. I stand for freedom. I am confident. I am arrogant. I am proud. When I am flown with my fellow banners, my head is a little higher. My colors a little truer. I bow to no one. I am recognized all over the world. I am worshipped and I am saluted. I am loved. I am revered. I am respected and I am feared. I have fought in every battle of every war. For more than 200 years, I have flown at Valley Forge, Gettysburg, Shalom. I was there at San Juan Hill, and then in the trenches of France, in the Aragon Forest, and Rome, and on the beaches of Normandy, Guam, Okinawa, the people of Korea, Vietnam, and Kuwait know me as the banner of freedom. I was there. I led my troops. I was dirty, battle-worn, and tired. But my soldiers cheered me, and I was proud. I have been buried, torn, trampled on the streets of countries I have helped to set free. It does not hurt, for I am invincible. I have slipped the bounds of earth and stood watch over the uncharted frontiers of space from my vantage point on the moon. I have borne silent witness to all of America's finest hours, but my finest hours are yet to come. When I am torn into strips and used as bandages for my wounded comrades on the battlefield, when I am flown at half-mast to honor my countrymen, when I lie in the trembling arms of a grieving parent at the grave of their fallen son or daughter, when I lie in the arms of a child or spouse who will have to go on without one who gave their life to save the life of another. And so many did at the Pentagon and the World Trade Center on September 11, 2001. My name is Old Glory. Long may I wave. I have a dear friend that serves in the Navy. She's a lawyer. And she was transferred to Hawaii 2 months before the plane crashed into the Pentagon. She was meant to live. Her office was where the plane struck, and a couple of her friends did die in the tragedy. However, I've had other many friends serve in Kuwait, and they've come back to live another day. Our country is about freedom. Freedom to worship as we please. Our forefathers wanted a new life. They wanted to be free from unreasonable taxation from Europe, England. However, today, are we truly free? We still have the same complaints today about taxation. Nothing really changed except we do have freedom of speech. We have freedoms when we're accused of something in the legal system to be brought forth before a judge and not left to perish in the prisons. As in some countries, that is someone's destiny. When our soldiers are captured and tortured to give up the secrets of our country, they turn within. They go to a state of escaping from the torture, from the pain, to that place of knowing how deeply they love this country and how deeply they have given their lives and are willing to give their lives at that moment in time for our country, for their country, for the place that they love and call their homes, where so many hundreds of thousands of people come here each and every day, legally and illegally, to be part of this vision, to be part of this truth of the way we live. We have the freedom to walk down the street and not fear that a bomb is going to go off, or a sniper is going to shoot us, or an ambulance pretending to take the sick to the hospital yet pulls up in front of our soldiers and shoots. We have a wonderful country. We have a wonderful presidency, whether we agree with their methods or not. We still have a wonderful country which cares about the freedoms that we share, cares about helping the world attain that freedom, to attain the equality in their work. In so many countries, there's slave labor still today, where kids and young and adults work for pennies on the dollar through unfathomable working conditions. Our country, we made rules and laws to obliterate that, except I'm sure it still occurs in some places. in businesses that are familiar with their country's rules and regulations. However, I know that we as a country have gone into several countries trying to make a difference. Whether we did it appropriately or not, no one really knows. We don't know what was in their minds when they decided, yes, we need to retaliate about 9/11. However, we are fortunate in this country that we don't live a day-to-day experience of war. Many countries throughout the world have never experienced a day of peace without the threat of violence. In the Arab countries or in Israel, the Palestinians and the Israelis have been in constant conflict and war for who knows how long, a couple hundred years, thousand years, who knows. Our country was in that state. We had brother against brother, each believing in their own values, what's important to them, whether they were on the side of slavery or on the side of freedom. Many men lost their lives believing that all men should be free, all women should be free, all children of any race, any color, free. And that is one of our civil liberties, is that we are free and that everyone is free at the exterior level. We experience true freedom when we no longer allow our beliefs to automatically respond to something occurring today. When we have done the inner work, the inside job, and believe in ourselves and have come to a new realization of who we are, we have true freedom. And I'd like to read something I ran across in doing a little house cleaning. It's called the 12 Life-Affirming Attitudes That Will Set You Free. No one, absolutely no one, with the exception of God, can care about or love you as much as you can care about and love yourself. Fully expressing yourself to others sets you free, while trying to impress others imprisons you. You can either care about others or care about what they think of you, and you cannot have it both ways. There are difficult relationships in life, only difficult people in relationships. Do not ever tolerate disrespect, abuse, or mistreatment from others, and never put others on a pedestal, no matter how much you admire them. If you experience oneness with the God of your understanding, you will experience oneness with all that is seen and unseen. Responsibility is made up of two words, response and ability. Responsibility has nothing to do with obligation, guilt, blame, shame, burden, or duty. It is simply the absolute to respond appropriately to life rather than reacting thoughtlessly to life. Anything or anyone that upsets you is a result of unconscious fear-based thinking operating in your life. If you are one with yourself, nothing or no one can upset you. If you are not one with yourself, everything and everyone will upset you. No one has power over your life except the power you give to others. There are stages of awareness to becoming a fully conscious person. Confusion is high up on the ladder. After confusion comes not knowing, followed by the observation stage. In the observation stage, you watch, observe, and witness everything that is going on in your life without judgment. At some point in becoming a fully conscious person, you will spontaneously and without effort on your part move from the observation stage to the stage called natural knowledge. In the natural knowledge stage, you will know the truth without the need to prove to anyone what you know. Some people call the natural knowledge stage divine wisdom. The truth shall set you free, but first it will piss you off. And then one last, there's one more quote by Dr. Joyce Brothers. She said, an individual's self-concept is true, is the core of his personality. It affects every aspect of human behavior, the ability to learn, the capacity to grow and change, the choice of friends, mates, and careers. It is no exaggeration to say that a strong, positive self-image is the best possible preparation for success in life. And there's one more quote by Ernest Holmes from The Thing Itself. Individuality must be spontaneous. It can never be automatic. The seed of freedom must be planted in the innermost being of man, but like the prodigal son, man must make the great discovery for himself. The divine plan is one of freedom. Bondage is not God-ordained. Freedom is the birthright of every living soul. All instinctively feel this. The truth points to freedom under law. Thus, the inherent nature of man is forever seeking to express itself in terms of freedom. We do well to listen to this inner voice, for it tells us of the life wonderful in its scope, of a love beyond our fondest dreams, of a freedom which the soul craves. Well, I do have one more from the Bible. Just one more. I have to put the Bible in there somewhere, you know. 2 Corinthians 3:17. The law of God is one of liberty. The law of God is one of liberty and not one of bondage. The Spirit of the Lord is everywhere. Freedom and liberty are also everywhere. If we could but see them, freedom like truth is self-existent and self-propelling. The Spirit, truth, and freedom are coexistent with one another. Whenever we are conscious of God or pure spirit, we are made free. This is proven in mental and spiritual healing. When we are conscious of perfect life, the body is healed. We must become unconscious of the imperfect and conscious of the perfect alone. Since our ideas of perfection are limited to our present understanding, we do not yet manifest perfection. With a greater unfoldment of reality through our consciousness, we shall evolve a more perfect body. In the demonstration of abundance, we seek to realize the liberty of the sons of God, the freedom whereby God proves his absoluteness. This is done not by meditation upon limitation, but by contemplation of plenty, abundance, success, prosperity, and happiness. It is unscientific to dwell upon lack, for it will create the undesired condition. It is scientific to meditate on plenty, to bring the mind to the point of conceiving an internal flow of life, truth, and energy through us and through everything that we do, say, or think. So basically, Ernest Holmes really embodied the Bible. Freedom does truly come within. Thank you.